So let's start off the usual way. Take a moment of silent prayer. Give me a chance to put all that out of my head, a chance to confess any known sins or criticisms or any other things that might be bothering us or could distract us, so that we can learn what the Word of God has to say today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to gather together and to look at your word, take these things and teach them to us and make them a source of challenge and blessing to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, we've been looking at God's plan for our life, and I'm kind of stuck on this verse because we're about to get into my favorite part of it. So Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 is where we're going to pick up. It says, "He has made everything appropriate in its time." And we saw that last time, that no matter what we think of the circumstances we're in, no matter what we think of the situation, okay, God has everything in His perfect time and set up exactly right. Every single thing is going to be made beautiful, meaningful, appropriate at the exact right time. So if you're in a situation and you're complaining about the situation, all right, then the only thing that can be wrong is not the situation, but your perception of it. Okay, and we spent enough time about on that principle. But He's made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that, and scratch that out and put without which, okay, because that's what it really means. It says, without which man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Without Him setting eternity in our hearts, okay, it would be impossible for us to find out God's plan. That's basically what He's saying right there. But I love this principle, okay? And it's very important for us to understand as believers that He has set eternity in their heart, okay? In our heart, in every single person's heart. This is not just believers, okay? The word eternity is et ha olam, and it means eternity. It means eternal things. Okay, it means what happens after life, or it really means a desire, okay, or a longing, or a curiosity about eternal things. Okay, that's what that word means. So what He's done is He's placed this curiosity, okay, this desire inside every person's heart. All right, now if you think about this, doesn't it make sense? Does every other religion out there in the world, what question do they try and answer? What's going to happen after I die, right? Okay, you know, what is it? Elysius was the Romans, or, you know, Valhalla, or, you know, whatever, paradise, heaven. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen when I die. All right, everybody tries to answer that. What's the book right now? I was looking at the Wall Street Journal yesterday. What book is number two on the nonfiction bestseller list? Anybody know? Of course you don't. Okay, you remember the book the little kid wrote? Heaven is for Real? Number two. All right, why? Because everybody's curious. Right? Okay, they can't help it. It's a natural thing that God has put inside every person. All right, what year is it? Anybody? It's 2012, right? Yeah. Oh boy, this is the year the calendar runs out. Okay, I've already seen the movie. I know what's going to happen. Okay, they're building those big ships in Russia and China, right? All right, what's been your favorite study we've ever done? Okay, think about it. How about heaven, the one I get the most requests for. Can we do heaven again? Okay, or can I have your notes about heaven? Okay, or what about Revelation? Isn't everybody fascinated by, gosh, what does all this mean in Revelation? Hey, listen, all this makes sense when you understand this principle. Right? Because He's put this desire in everybody. Okay, everybody's got a natural curiosity, a natural longing, a natural, you know, desire to know about the eternal, to know what's coming. And the way you have to look at this, okay, is this is the grace of God reaching down and putting this desire in us. Because face it, if He hadn't done it, you know, if I didn't have any curiosity about what's going to happen after I'm gone, And then, you know, what's the point of even looking for answers to that? Okay, but in His grace, He's made us all want to know what's going to happen. Okay, go look at Romans 1. We'll look at this principle in relation to unbelievers first. Romans 1:18. All right, Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Okay, it's in them. He says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Okay? There is no excuse, because everybody has this natural thing inside of them, this natural desire. He has designed us, okay, so that even as an unbeliever, if I look at a sunset, God has put it inside of me to say, how did that happen? Okay, what is, you know, there has got to be something that made this. Okay, His attributes, His power. Wow, you know, did these mountains just happen like this? Okay, yeah, did something just crawl out of the slime and turn into this person? You know, how does your brain work? Okay, look at all of these things are designed by God to show Him. Okay, so you know, my favorite little thing about the pygmy in Africa, this was what I always used to ask Dad. I was like, okay, well, you know, there's some tribe of pygmies living in Africa that they've never gone to church, they've never had a missionary come see them. I said, you know, well, how does that work? Okay, and this is the answer. Because God's put this inside every person. At some point, you'll look at this sunset as an unbeliever and say, gosh, it may not be a sunset, it might be a sunrise, might be the ocean, might be the beach, might be mountains, it could be anything. Okay, but at some point, God's made it evident to them. Okay, well, going on with this, you got to love how the Word of God will use a natural thing that we understand to explain something spiritual. All right, think about the loving arms of God. Okay, well, you know, God doesn't really have arms, but understanding that He has these arms to, you know, hold us and all this, it helps us understand a principle about Him. Okay, well, the way the Word of God sort of explains this principle is with it's like the principle of hunger and thirst. Okay, He says, listen, just like you hunger and thirst, okay, what is He said in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay, we all have in us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the Word of God, for the things of God, for knowledge about eternity, for eternal things. He's built it in there. Because listen, we all understand being hungry and thirsty, right? Hey, because just as food and water are to the body, those things are to the soul. Okay? Listen, we hunger and thirst not just physically for food, okay, but spiritually for righteousness, for, you know, call it for satisfaction. Okay? We all want to have meaning and purpose in our life. You want to know, you know, even the unbeliever, they want to know that they're accomplished something that's going to last past them, right? That's God working. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Everybody looks for satisfaction. All right, John Piper, he says, God has put eternity in our hearts and we have an inconsolable longing. Okay, I like that one. All right, what about, anybody listen to Christian music besides me? You ever heard that song, There's a God-Shaped Hole in All of Us? Da-da-da. I like that song. Okay? But it's exactly true. There is. Okay? God has put this desire inside every person. You have a spiritual hunger and thirst, okay, that He has in you. He has put inside of us a round hole that can only be filled with a round peg. All right, now, I love this analogy, okay? The problem that unbelievers have, and I was going to say unbelievers, and I was reading this morning, I said, unbelievers, heck, it's me too. Okay, the problem we all have is that we try and fill that round hole with square things all the time, okay? Think about it, money, if we had money, I'd be happy, sexual, I'd be happy, alcohol, drugs, popularity, my family, okay, good friends, good times, job security, save for retirement. Okay, those are the things that will make me happy. Well, they're all square. Okay, imagine this. You've got a 55-gallon drum, right, and you have an infinite number of dice. Right? Now, I don't care how many dice you have. I don't care how many dice you put in that 55-gallon drum, there is always going to be space in there. Right? Y'all thinking about the science here? You put something square up against something round, there's going to be space. Okay? They cannot fill it up. There will always be empty space, no matter how many dice you can get. Right? That's the principle that He's done. Let's go look at Isaiah 55.
Well, Solomon covered all of that.
All of that.
He exhausted that.
He did. He went right down the list, and he did. He starts with education. We've looked at it all. Education, sex, popularity, wisdom, family, posterity. Okay, all of those things. Okay, what does he say at the end? In the end, this is the conclusion. Fear God and treasure His commandments. And that's it for everybody.
That's it.
That's it for everybody. And that's his summary. Okay? Which I love. Isaiah 55. Listen, the problem is no matter how much of this you find, okay, no matter how many of those things, no matter how much money, how much popularity, right? No matter how much of those things you get, you're guaranteed not to be satisfied. Okay? It is physically, scientifically, spiritually impossible to fill up a 55-gallon drum with dice. Okay? You will never completely fill it. And that's the, you almost want to call it, that's the curse, right? Okay? No matter how much of this I get, it's just not going to quite fill me up. It's just not quite going to satisfy me. Okay, Isaiah the rapper in Isaiah 55, verse 1. He says, ho, see, that's the rapper part. He said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's no charge for this lesson today, by the way. Verse 2 says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. So simple, so true. Okay, Jeremiah said the same thing in Jeremiah 2:11. It says, has the nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And listen, is that a great picture? Not just of most people, okay, but of us sometimes. Listen, we spend time and money on things that do not have the ability to satisfy us. Okay? We spend all this time filling up our cistern with all this water, and it's got a hole in the bottom of it. And listen, we'd spend all that time, all that effort, all that money, all that, everything we do, okay? And then we wonder why we're not satisfied. I mean, of course you're not. It's not possible. You can try to satisfy yourself with that, with money, with power, with education, okay, sex, friendship, lots of other things. And they will give you some satisfaction for a while. Make no mistake about it. Okay? But ultimately, it's only going to lead to a bigger sense of loss. Okay? And it's just like Ecclesiastes, all of it. He goes through all this, and at the end, he is, what does he say? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Okay? It's a helpless feeling. You mean I've got all this that I thought was going to make me happy? And it's not. Okay? It won't. It's guaranteed not to. All of those things we think are going to give us happiness are dice. Okay? No matter how many you get, they cannot fill a round hole. All right, I love C.S. Lewis, this quote. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." Okay, listen, it's the perfect picture, okay? The kid in the slums making mud pies. Mom says, "Don't you want to go to the beach?" It's like, "I'm having a ball making mud pies." I mean, come on. Okay? And don't we do the same thing? Listen, we are far too easily pleased. We look at these things of the earth and say, you know, this is what will make me happy. This is where I'll find satisfaction. Okay? I hate to do this to myself. If I could get Cook a job and he could find what he wants to do with the rest of his life, okay, that'll do it. Okay? It's a dice. It will never fill a round hole. You know, my favorite, if I just had a ton of money in the bank, then I'll be happy. Or when so-and-so happens. Well, so we always play that game. Okay? We are far too easily pleased. Well, so we could go to the beach. Okay? Not have more mud for pies. I do love that analogy. It's what you're doing is you're settling for the limited happiness that these things can give you when there's infinite happiness available. Hey, listen, I got a 55-gallon drum. I'm going to fill it up with what's designed to go in it. Okay? Otherwise, it's never going to be full. There's always going to be a little bit of space in there. All right, that's what he's saying. The joy that is offered to us, filling that drum up with the right stuff, the peace, okay, the satisfaction. It's way beyond the satisfaction we settle for. Okay? You know, it's that Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. Okay? That's what's available. And listen, there are lots of examples of this in the Word of God. The one that came to my mind is the story of the prodigal son. Okay? You all know it. He demands his inheritance. What does he think? If I could get my money and go out and be my own boss and do it all myself, okay, there's where my satisfaction is. Okay, so he goes out and spends it all. What is the Bible calls it, a loose living. Okay, nothing specific in there, just loose living. Okay, but, you know, what does it not do? It doesn't satisfy him. Okay, he was deceived. He's fooled. Okay, don't be deceived. Right? Don't sit here and think that if I can just do this, if I could just get this, okay, that's where happiness is. Okay, because you're trying to find dice to fill up a round hole, and it doesn't work. All right. Now, I love how Jesus used that hunger and thirst analogy too. Go look at Go look at John 6. Well, we can go to John 4. They're both in John. In John 4, he's talking to the woman at the well. All right, and you know, they're talking about water. And in John 4:13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Okay? It's better. Okay? You can only fill up this hole God's way. And after he feeds the 5,000, John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, okay, which the Son of Man will give to you." Okay, listen, that's what this picture is. This verse in here, it says God has set eternity in their hearts. This is the grace of God reaching down and putting that desire in us. Okay? The question becomes, why don't I have this desire all the time? Right? All right? Listen, it's a delicate thing. Okay? It's a nice flower. It's a nice plant. I like this because I've gotten good at plants. Okay? They need some attention. Okay? It's something you got to water. It's something you got to feed. Okay, now look at Psalm 42. I like this this picture of David. Sorry, it's a sword drill day. At least they've all been easy ones. I hadn't said Hezekiah yet, right? Psalm 42, verse 1. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord?" Okay, I love that picture. You know, just like the deer's got to have water, my soul is longing. Okay, it's panting, it's thirsting. Okay, that's where we want to get. Okay, he says the same thing in Psalm 63. He says, "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Okay, now listen, I love that passage because what he says, we all go through droughts. Okay, we all go through this time, okay, of a spiritual drought. Of something when, you know, a time when you just don't, you know, you just don't feed that desire. You just, you know, you get up, you got other things to do. Okay, you just don't think about accomplishing God's will. You don't think about, I got to spend some, you know, I need a little bit of time in prayer. I need a little bit of time looking at the Word of God. I need to at least read this devotional. I need to do something. Okay, but you neglect it, you neglect it, you neglect it. Okay, and it gets harder and harder to go back. And, you know, with me, whenever I get into that kind of dry and weary land where there is no water, okay, everything else starts going bad too. Okay, because I've got a hole in me that cannot be filled any other way. Okay, no matter how great work goes, no matter how great my family life is, I cannot be satisfied. Your soul has a thirst, okay, that only that can quench. Right? That's what it comes down to. You know, we've talked about this desire. You want to feed that. Da, 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 da. Let's see. Let's go to Hebrews 5 and look at one more thing. It took all my time today. You know, this is the part of the beauty of this thing is when this is working, when you're feeding the right thing, okay, when you're feeding this desire a little bit, okay, and you're growing and you're learning, things are going well, and you're starting to feel content, you're going to bed every night thinking, "Wow, I saw how God worked today." Okay, as you really grow and understand that, when you apply this principle, you get none of the credit. Okay, because God even put the desire in me. Okay, he's the one that made me where I can only be satisfied with him. Okay, so he gets all the credit. But anyway, this is not an automatic. Hebrews 5:11. He says, "Concerning him," capital H, "we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. for by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Listen, when you get dull of hearing, when you neglect it, when you stay away from it, okay, you are going to leave that desire, that hole inside of you, unfulfilled. Okay? And this turns into, like we were talking about, Solomon. Okay, he's got, what does he say? Everything's a puff of smoke. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Right? And he talks about living life under the sun. Okay, it's the void, empty life. Listen, there is nothing else out there that can fulfill this specific desire inside of you. Okay, it's only available in your relationship with God. All right? My pet peeve verse. I love that verse. Any questions? All right, let's close. Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for this message. Thank you especially for putting this hole inside of us. Help us to recognize that, to look to the right way, to the right places, to have that desire satisfied so that we can continue to grow and accomplish your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.